You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
The time is 9:37, and we will be talking to Sister Coach Ruth Changuinya. She's on the line. Sister, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm happy. It's December.
Yes.
Yes.
We are almost there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Don't mind me calling you sister. Ish, I'm used to calling ladies my sister, my sister, my sister. So I'll be calling you sister here and there, but I'll remember that you are a coach.
Yes, no, it's not a problem. It's perfectly okay.
Okay, no problem. All right. So today we are looking at Women's World Breaking Barriers. But before we get into our conversation, can you pray for us?
Okay, shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to have this important conversation. Lord, we ask that you may inspire us. And that, Lord, through this conversation, someone's life will be positively changed. This is my prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my sister. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into it. So stepping into a male-dominated field takes grit, ambition, and a healthy dose of confidence. For women, succeeding in these spaces means not only breaking through sailing, but also lifting others up along the way. How can we support, empower, and celebrate women pioneering in these spaces? So my first question, my coach, what are some unique challenges women face in male-dominated fields, and how can they address them?
Some of the challenges that women face in male-dominated fields is, first of all, stereotyping and bias, whereby, let's say, for example, in the engineering field, it's usually, you know, it's a male-dominated field, or someone who is in construction, for example. Right. And that is, those are very male-oriented places. And, you know, you don't imagine a woman being there, but there we are, featuring in one way or the other. And so, you know, in those fields, you know, females are assumed to be less competent than male colleagues. Mm. And, you know, sometimes you are excluded from important projects. Your opinion doesn't matter much. You try to say something and, you know, they just look at you. You are passed over, that kind of a thing. And because there's just a bias towards women, and being in those fields, you're not supposed to be there. And hence, no one takes you seriously. We have situations whereby if you're in a position of leadership, you are taken as being too aggressive or too emotional, because that's how women are. And then if a man was in the same position, he would be called confident and passionate. You know, so those are some of the challenges that are faced by women. And I think the other challenges that women face is unequal access to opportunities. Women are passed over for promotions. There's an opportunity that has opened up for being maybe lead of the department, you know, in a male-dominated field, and you're just as qualified, if not over qualified or more qualified than everyone else. But no one takes you seriously. Once again, you're a woman, you've got responsibilities besides work. Just because you're a woman, you are looked over, you are skipped, you know, by this opportunity. And so men have better chances of, you know, getting these promotions. They have better chances of being considered for certain opportunities than women, simply because they are men and simply because they are women. And so there's this unequal access to opportunities. You know, you can struggle to get funding for your business because no one takes your business seriously. You are there alone as a woman. You're trying to go and, you know, compete for a tender.
Eish,
kind of a thing. But because you're a woman, you have to work harder. You are passed over for these opportunities because you are a woman. And another one that women face is imposter syndrome.
True.
And self-doubt, because we are women and we have been put into a certain bracket.
Right,
when
right.
we then get into certain spaces, you're asking yourself, you're second guessing yourself. You don't trust yourself. You don't trust your decision. You don't trust your abilities. You don't feel you deserve to be there. Even if you are more qualified than everyone else, you just feel, oh my goodness, because I'm a woman, no one will take me seriously. You are doubting whatever decisions you're making. And so, in spite of your successes, you don't even see them. But, you know, self-doubt is taking over. And as a result of imposter syndrome, as a woman, you may not even take on certain opportunities, or you may downplay yourself, or you may actually not do so well in the opportunities that are presented to you.
Mm.
And those are just you know, some of the challenges that women face. There's lack of support and resources, maybe for networking opportunities, where, you know, there are these seminars that are, you know, done in companies, and it's the men that get to go and the women don't, and men get to go and network. They go and, you know, get known, they grow in their line of work, and, you know, they get mentorships, trainings, and whatnot. But women are being are not getting the same opportunities.
True.
They're not getting that support and resources that they need in their line of work.
Oh wow, you answered so well, my coach. Oh wow, beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And how can mentorship and allyship, I'm not sure if it's allyship or allyship, make a difference for women in these fields?
You know, mentorship is a very important thing. Allyship is a very important thing. Mentoring, meaning that you have someone who is who has been there before, guiding you. You know, maybe let's say you've just joined a law firm, and you know there's someone bigger who has been in the company for a long time, and they take you under their wing, you know, to give you support, advice, to just run things. You know, maybe you have a challenge you're facing, and you can bring it to them. They can help you think through it. They can challenge your thoughts. They can get you thinking better. When you're making a poor decision, they nudge you in the right direction.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes, let's say maybe you have been put as CEO.
Okay.
Of a group five company, you've been put there, and you know you need someone who will just be in your corner, showing you the way, being a light at the end of the tunnel, a mentor. You know, that's what a mentor does.
Right.
They help you you know, go through things. They are holding your hand, they are offering you wisdom when you need it, and support, you know, just moral support. And you know, allyship is where as women, let's say, we are supporting each other in the field, you know.
Right.
We have, let's say, like I'm an occupational health and safety officer, for example. We have like a group of safety, female safety officers. We support each other. We show each other how to get things done. You're facing a challenge. You know, you're just pulling each other up. You're helping each other, you know, get the bag. You know, you're just climbing the corporate ladder together to make things work. It's like a sisterhood, and it's a beautiful thing. And yet in many instances, you find that in the workplace, it's women fighting against women. It's women bringing each other down. There are no allies where you were hoping you would get support.
Hey.
You find that this person is the one who is behind your whole downfall.
Hey.
They don't want to see you rise. They don't want to see you rise up. They want what you have for themselves.
Hmm.
And so in every way possible, they will close the opportunities. If you need a leave day, they'll make sure that you suffer to get it. You know, they are pointing out all your they are painting you as bad to everyone. You might have done the best that day, maybe done a good report, and they'll say, yeah, but she still missed that day. You know, they just point out the bad things. And so we're saying it's important, you know, to decide to be the good person, the better person, a sister's keeper. My friends and I have a saying that says, she's not heavy, she's my sister. Let us not be heavy on each other. We are sisters. Let's help each other up. If there's an opportunity, you know, where you know someone can thrive and do well, tell them about it. Help nudge them in the right direction. Show them. And, you know, let's just help each other up. Let's help each other just become the best versions of ourselves. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much, yeah, my sister, for that. And why is self-confidence so critical? And what are ways to build and maintain it in challenging environments? Let me make an example, Ngam. So I'm under technical. So technical department. I'm under technical department, and I'm a young woman. And let me just say, I'm supposed to wear trousers every day. Plus, I'm working for Adventist World Radio. You can imagine. So I'm working for church. You know what people say about trousers and ladies.
Yes,
you understand.
Yes.
And now I have to come to work every day wearing a trouser. If anything happens under the desk, maybe there's a loose cable, I have to fix it. Someone out coming from outside looking at me wearing a trouser, and this person is working for church, now they are judging me. So how do I maintain a self-confidence in that situation? You understand my point?
yes. I think it's just important to be confident, right? It's important to have that self-confidence. It's important to know that you will not always be everyone's cup of tea.
Okay.
You will not. And there's a saying that says, you are not a slice of pizza.
Right.
Not everyone is going to like you because you're not a slice of pizza, you know. What I'm saying is that we need to understand that in any place, in any situation, in any field, not everyone is going to understand you. Not everyone is going to like you. Not everyone is going to accept you.
Right.
And that is perfectly okay. Thus is life. You are not everybody's cup of tea. And that being said, it's important for us women to have self-confidence, to have confidence in ourselves, in our skills, in who we are. Don't question yourself. God has placed you there for a reason and for a purpose. God has placed you there to be a change maker, to do something that nobody else can do. He has made you to be you. He has placed you there at AWR to serve in a way that nobody else is going to serve. And because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, stand up, be confident, do what you have to do, be who God has called you to be. And in turn, let us also be people who are not quick to judge other people. I think it also comes back to self to say, are we people who are quick to judge? Are we people who are quick to jump to conclusions? You know, it will not always be black and white.
Hey.
And let us understand that it will not always be black and white in all circumstances. So it's important to just maintain your confidence, to stand tall, carry yourself as a child of God, embrace where you are at that very moment. And I just want to talk about self-confidence from another angle.
Right.
For us to have confidence, for us to be confident in our spaces, anyone in general, even as a man, to build and maintain, first, focus on your strengths and accomplishments. There is more to you than just wearing trousers in the workplace. There is so much more that you are doing. Don't major in minors. Focus on the bigger picture to say, at the end of the day, we have a product, we have something, we have a production we are working on. We are doing something. We are pushing the kingdom, as you say, from broadcast to baptism. There is something bigger that you are doing. If no one else can see it, let us pray that God opens the eyes of those around us to also see the bigger picture. And as a person, it's also important that you practice positive self-talk. Speak to yourself positively. Handle yourself with care in the workplace, because nobody else around you may be handling you the way you're supposed to be handled, or speaking to you the way that you would like to be spoken to. And you are the only one who can do that for yourself. And once you do that, you are confident. You know who you are. Nothing can shake you from who you say you are. And, you know, we should also surround yourself with people, you know, who are supportive and encouraging and believe in you. It may not even be people in the workplace, because you may not be receiving that kind of support. It could be from family, it could be from friends, it could be anywhere really. Focus on those that are bringing you light. Focus on those that are bringing you strength. Focus on people who are there to help you, who see your dream and help you to and feed into your dream and buy into your dream and help you become the best you are. And in that way, you have confidence. You know that you have people in your corner. You have people who are there for you, people who are believing in you. And sometimes you may have nobody believing in you at all. It's important that you yourself believe in yourself. Do it for yourself. It's not always about the people, because sometimes people will let you down. So believe in yourself for yourself. Believe, hold on to the cross and say, God, you're the one who has brought me here. And because of that, I am going to be confident. It's not even confidence anymore. It's God-fidence, God-given confidence. Hey. You know, there's confidence that only comes from above. And another thing that we can do to build and maintain confidence is learning and growing each and every day. How are you learning on being, how are you growing as a technician mentally? You need to grow mentally. Do those small, those short courses every now and again. Right. Read up on your trade. Read, be a reader. Know what is going on. Who are the thought leaders? What are they doing? Where are they going? How are they doing it? How can I be that person too? There is new technology. What has come out? How can I bring it into where I am? Hold on to it mentally, because one day it's going to come in handy. Knowledge is always power. Knowledge is never empty. You never know where it's going to serve you. You never know where that one contribution is going to get you. So educate yourself, grow such that you are confident in what you hold mentally. You are confident in what you are delivering. You know who you are. You are reading, you are growing each and every day. So yes, that's how one can build and maintain self-confidence. Are you a CEO? Read up on other CEOs. What are they doing? How are they doing it? What challenges are they facing? How did they, you know, how did they get over this thing? How did they manage it? How can I manage it too? How can I bring this? What are the new strategies out there? You know, are we still on Maslow's hierarchy of needs? You know, those things in management. You know, what is the in thing? What are the types of leaders that are there today? Is it still only autocratic and laissez-faire? What kind of leaders are out there? How can I be a good leader? What is YouTube saying? What podcasts are there? You know, and be woke, you know, be open-minded, learn every day. We will never arrive. We will never arrive mentally. The world is forever growing and evolving. We are in this digital age. Grow with it, embrace it. So, yeah, that's basically it. Building and maintaining confidence.
Yes. Thank you so much, my coach, for that. And how can organizations create more inclusive cultures that encourages female empowerment?
For companies, organizations to do such things, I think it's something that should come through the policies and procedures of the companies from the very top of the company. It's not something that is just happening on ground level. It should be something that is being championed by the CEOs, championed by the management itself, the ownership of the company, in the policies that they are creating. Are they inclusive? Are they embracing of the women in society as a whole? Are they considering women? It's things like the maternity policies. It's things like how does your company handle it when a child is sick? You know, you've got mothers in the company. Do you have policies that understand that there are also mothers in the company? Do they have a time out to go and manage, you know, these medical emergencies? Do your policies allow, are they inclusive of women being educated, furthering their education, opening up opportunities for them? Are they considered first? So for me, I want to say that let's not talk about it from a ground level, but from a very, from the very top of things, from the top of the food chain, that if it begins there, it's going to filter down right to the shop floor level, where people are very sensitive to the life of the woman in the workplace, where they are sensitive to how she is being handled, the opportunities that are coming her way. And yeah, just generally, that in a nutshell to say, that's how I believe inclusivity should happen,
right,
from the very top of the company to going down to the bottom. If there's commitment from management, there's definitely commitment that is going to flow down,
right,
into everybody else. Culture begins at the top.
Hey.
It's like a family. If you want a culture to work, it should begin with the parents and,
right,
come down to the children. You know, so for culture to be well implemented, it should begin at the top and cascade down and be implemented to everyone else, down to shop floor levels. Thank you.
Thank you so much, my sister. Before I like to go, here's the last question. And what are some practical ways women can advocate for themselves and others in these spaces?
Women can... women can challenge the biases and stereotypes, you know, that they are facing in the workplace. You can challenge them to say that this is not fair, this is not working, speak up for yourselves.
Sister Ruth, hi, Bo.
It's not, you know, like sometimes it has to happen. It has to happen. You know, it's just one of the strategies that can be used. Just one of them. You don't have to take them or use them. There are so many other strategies and other ways that you can advocate for yourself. Speak up and share your ideas and perspectives. Don't hide. Don't downplay yourself. Don't have this self-doubt. Speak up and, you know,
right,
share your ideas, show yourself, stand out, be confident. That self-confidence we were talking about. If it's something that you're struggling with, self-work is very important. Find out, how can I become more confident in the workplace? How can I be more strategic in the workplace, placing myself at the right place at the right time to the right people? How am I carrying myself? How am I going to become a mover and shaker? You know, there are books, it's called, there's a book called The Quiet Girls, I think, Don't Get the Corner Office, something like that. So yeah, I think it's Quiet Girls, Don't Get the Corner Office. I've just forgotten it, but it's something along those lines, where the book is just saying that if you're quiet, you're not going to get what you want. You need to act. You need to be active. You need to be out there. You need to place yourself, you know. Mm. And so, and in doing, you also need to support the voices of other women around you.
Right.
When you realize, you know, push each other up, you realize that your colleague is not one who speaks up, she struggles with self-doubt, you know, place her gently in those spaces to say, have you tried so-and-so? So-and-so is good at this, is good at that. And, you know, we can also seek out opportunities for leadership and all. Let's be go-getters. Let's be ambitious. Mm. Let's go for what we want, you know. And, you know, that's just ways we can advocate for ourselves for and others. You know, it's those women that are CEOs in big companies, you know, them being there is just advocating in itself. Mm. And it's a beautiful thing to see. It's inspiring. It pushes us to also want to get there to do better. The women that are going and getting their PhDs, women who are writing books, you know, all these things, they inspire us to also become women of that caliber, women who are taking up spaces, women who are not afraid to go for what they want and become who God has made them to be and who they also want to be. Thank you.
Wow. Hey, yes. Wow. I'm speechless. Thank you so much, my sister, for such a beautiful conversation. Thank you. Thank you so much. Before I let you go, shall we close with the word of prayer?
Okay. Shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this wholesome conversation that you have allowed us to have. Father in heaven, I ask and I pray that, Lord, if there are any women who have been struggling with issues of self-doubt, who have been struggling on which way to take in life, dear God, today, may this be the day that you speak to them, that you show them who they are supposed to be, Lord. Build them up, dear Father. Help them to become who you have made them to be in every way possible, Lord. May they shed off the fear. May they shed off the self-doubt. Because, Lord, you said that is not our portion, but our portion is of faith and of success, dear God. This is my prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, my sister. Heesh, oh, you spoke so well.
Thank you so much. You have a great day. Hey,
you too, Siswami. Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
All right, to our listeners at home, that was Sister Ruth, Coach Ruth, talking to us about women's world breaking barriers. She spoke so well. I'm impressed. I am very impressed. All right, the time is 10:04. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we're getting into our music segment. Music takeover.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.